Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to the show again. I'm Andy.
Ryan,
Mark,
and Jeremy,
and I'm Robin the Bloke.
All right, guys. Just a quick honorary mention: last night's fight, the notorious Conor McGregor.
Notorious.
Beating Diaz in 5 rounds. Just had to get that out there. Anyway,
where was this fight held?
It was in Las Vegas.
Oh, UFC. Really? Were you there?
No.
Oh, you just got back?
I was watching it on the TV.
Ah, the newfangled steam-driven contraption. We love it.
Anyway, guys, let's get right on to it. Another weekend of results to dissect. Let's get right on to it. First game, Chelsea versus Watford.
West Ham,
sorry. What do you make of the results of that one? 2-1?
It was a good performance, I guess, from Chelsea. Got a little lucky. Collins hit a great goal to tie it up.
Dirty, dirty Diego Costa.
Yeah.
I know. There's something about him that just rubs me the wrong way.
I don't know what it could be. You know, what is it about Chelsea that rubs everyone the wrong way? Don't know, really.
What do you guys make of it?
I thought Conte made a pretty ballsy move bringing on another striker in the probably like the 80th to 84th minute.
Right.
Can't remember the guy's name.
New signing.
Headed the ball down to Costa, and Costa scored. So I really got to give it to Conte for being at home, realizing the situation, and going for it.
Right. Jeremy?
Yeah, just same thing Mark said. Right, personally,
no, you've got to say something different to Mark said. This, we've got a wide variety of views. You've got to come from the opposite side of the camp.
I just hate Costa.
Everybody hates Costa. Everyone. You know what? Get him in the ring with
McGregor. No, Gabriel and Costa are now best friends, I assure you. They're out every night on the town.
Okay, is there any player then, Robin, that you would rate from Chelsea?
Well, you know, there is that little Cest lad who's an up-and-comer. You know, he's done some stuff for us in the past, but no, not anymore. Of course, you know, being Arsenal, in fact, the very first game I ever saw in my life was at Stamford Bridge in 1970. Right. So, I was once a Chelsea fan when I was a very small lad. I admit it.
Okay, because I think that Chelsea have a thing to prove this year. They obviously didn't win the title last year. Last year, they were up and down like a yo-yo, you know, with the manager leaving.
Well, Hiddink came in and got them a lot of good draws. Oh, right. Boy, those draws were super.
Right. All right, so next results. We're trying to be impartial as we can here.
Of course.
Old Trafford, first game of the season. At home, Manchester United versus Southampton. Ryan?
Yeah. We've been really excited about this one. Waiting to see, obviously, Pogba get his first start back. Well, second debut, I guess. And obviously Zlatan doing what Zlatan does. So.
Love the Zlatan, can't deny the Zlatan.
So yeah, we definitely, there were some really actually great performances. Pogba's probably one of the best debut performances I've seen.
Sublime.
That's what I heard. In so many years, basically. And then I actually thought he was really good alongside Fellaini. I thought Fellaini was brilliant, kind of complemented each other really well. And obviously Zlatan doing what Zlatan does, making a half chance into a bullet header, so... Yeah, brilliant.
And so humble.
Always.
King Zlatan.
And what's your opinion on the new Friday night soccer? 10 games this season of Friday night soccer.
I think it's a good idea. Sets you up for the weekend.
Yeah.
Just another excuse to go out on a Friday night.
More soccer per week than there is on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yeah, it's all good. And then bring on the Champions League and it'll be every night.
Right, we've got one of the best squads that is not in the Champions League this year.
I keep forgetting that Manchester United are not in the Champions League. How is that even possible?
Right.
Are the Champions League.
But you know what I love about this? Okay, we've had two bad years. Two really bad years. Well, not really bad, obviously. Let's put it in context. But we didn't win. And everyone was kind of like, everyone for the last, you know, God knows how long has been like, you know, oh, you're just glory hunters.
No.
And we stuck by them.
Every team is a glory hunter. That's the point of soccer.
Past 2 years, though, just had been such boring football. Like, I mean, it was painful to watch.
Right.
Whereas, like, the second half of the game this week, I mean, like, it was exciting. Like, you it was Manchester United. There was attacking football. We were in their defensive third the whole time. And, I mean, it was just, you were just waiting for them to score again.
It was good to see the fullbacks just bombing on, like, relentlessly. Valencia and Luke Shaw. So, yeah, they were brilliant.
How many seasons has Valencia been with United now?
Seventh, I think.
Seven?
Yeah.
From Wigan, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic servant. Probably the longest-serving Man United player, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Pogba's a totally complete player.
What position
you can
does,
see that.
What position does Valencia actually play?
Yeah.
He was a right winger, but I think he's pretty much settled it right back.
He is up that wing. Like,
and he got that broken leg a couple of seasons back, came back better than ever.
Exactly. I think that Mourinho just knows
pick
a few players, and the players you do have kind of move them around, and they just play. They fit.
Well, everything you read, too, it seems like Mourinho has the guys having fun, enjoying playing the game again.
Right.
Like sessions.
Not listening to him, though. That's no fun at all. But the actual playing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's jump on to the other side of the city. Manchester, obviously. The blue side. At the Bet3 at 6. FC, well, actually, they weren't playing at the stadium. They were playing at the Bet365 stadium. Stokes Ground.
Is that what it's called now?
I know. It's becoming. Ah. It is, but there's an American aspect of, you know, let's name the stadiums after cell phone companies.
As far as I'm concerned, Arsenal play at Ashburton Grove, and that's what I say all the time. That's where they play.
All right. I agree with you. Old Trafford, hopefully.
Yeah, please. Don't let Old Trafford ever be called anything but Old Trafford.
All right, so Man City, 4-1. Now, Ryan, you were saying, like, you know, what your thoughts were of Man City before the league kicked off, and obviously Stones coming in. Has that changed?
Look, they started great, 2 wins. You know, they haven't really played anybody of any substance yet.
Right.
Same could be said for United and for Chelsea as well. So, you know, it's a good result. 4-1 away is always a good result. You got Aguero. It's always frightening when he's banging them in early in the
Looking
season.
Looking good as well.
And then Nolito coming on and a couple of tap-ins will do well for his confidence. So, yeah, it was kind of a strange game, actually. The two penalties, I thought, were actually quite soft because you've got Shaw cross on Otamendi, both of them 6 and 1/2 against one of the other with their shirts, but obviously the ref only sees Shaw cross pulling Otamendi's. That's a penalty, and then the Sterling push was a little soft, I thought, and Bojan scores a great penalty, so it was kind of a weird one. It was kind of, you know, but again, 4-1, can't knock it really.
49 million for Sterling, still not convinced.
No.
Did anyone see them play midweek in Champions League?
5-2 in Bucharest.
I believe it was 5-0.
Oh, it was 5-0 even.
Yeah, and Aguero missed two penalties.
That's right.
And still scored a hat trick. So
yeah, he's looking good. I think we can all say he's looking good again.
How long does he stay healthy, though? Yeah.
That's always the question.
How does any of us stay healthy, given the lifestyles we've all taken up?
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC Charlottesville.
Yes.
You can get in contact with us 434-284-9470 or facebook.com/blokesonthebench.
And no challenging us to a big old duffing up or anything like that. This is
A duffing up?
A duffing up.
What's that?
You know what, being duffed up. He's making a mess, mate. Know what I mean?
All right, well, the next game, obviously, Tottenham versus Crystal Palace. White Hart Lane.
Oh, those Palace supporters. I've never met one I liked.
1-0. Wanyama.
Yeah, Ryan. Good to see him score. New signing over the summer. He'll do the business for him. Late goal, wasn't a great game. But Palace, my pick. Alan Pardew, looking bad, buddy. It's going to be between you and Moisey, I reckon.
Yeah. Oh, I don't believe it.
Yeah. First manager sacked, so. Gotta be.
I know, we had a really rotten end to the season, but I mean, you know, Pardew's always the same. He comes into a team, makes these wonderful changes. You know, his scouting throughout the world is fantastic. He brings it, and then the collapse.
Right.
This is Pardew's way. And of course,
the dance moves.
Wenger on the touchline as well is usually part of
the dance moves. What?
His dance moves are fantastic.
Oh, well, that's what
we're listening. You guys don't remember the cup last year?
No.
Yeah.
Right before Lingard hit the winner?
All right, guys. Next one. Swansea versus Hull. Hull are on a roll this year.
I know. They've got no owner. They've got no manager. Does it matter?
Right. But I mean, that's good in a way, because the fans, we were talking about this, when they played Leicester City, like Ram said, for the first 20 minutes, the fans were sitting in the crowd, protesting against Alan, you know, getting him out. And then the team just kind of bonded. Yeah. Very rarely do we see that, where the team just, not even, the fans aren't behind them.
Yeah.
You know, is this going to be a unifying force, though? Is this going to, the team unify and then the fans kind of go on by default?
So, well, and we're two games in, but could this be last season's Leicester?
Not with 13 fit players, no.
Yeah, no manager or owner.
Yes. Yeah, they're off to a great start. Again, I said last week, they have got a lot of Premier League experience in the team. I mean, Sean Maloney opened the scoring yesterday. He's bounced around a bit, yeah. I think he was at Villa at one stage as well. And then you got, for me, it's Jake Livermore. I always thought he was an average midfielder, even when he was at Tottenham. And now he's a makeshift centre-back, and he's put in two top performances. So I think
he's kicking on.
I think Phelan's going to be pretty happy to see that. And, you know, two games in, six points.
Do we have any idea about anyone in the pipeline for a regular Hull City coach? Not Hull Tigers, Hull City, still.
I think Phelan's got to get the job.
The man who's in charge.
Yeah, I think you
right
have
now.
To, yeah. If he wants it, I think you have to give it to him.
Yeah.
Do you have much of a choice? It's kind of like beggars have choosers right now.
Right. I mean, what does anyone know why Mr. Bruce decided to up sticks?
He wanted the England job.
And how did that show up?
Yeah, didn't get it, and then he has to go back to Hull, and I think he'd already decided that he'd done enough with that club. And,
awkward.
Yeah, I don't think he had a great relationship, actually, with the owners, so I think
nobody
that conversation...
Right, because there's this contest.
Yeah, he's like the guy with Cardiff.
Don't forget who's in charge here.
Vincent Tan, yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, you can't have owners like that. You need people like Walmart owning Arsenal.
Mm. All right.
There's rumors at Arsenal. Or being looked at by Chinese investment.
Really?
Yes.
Well, isn't there something... I don't know if
it's, I'm sorry. It's Liverpool.
Yes, it's Liverpool.
Two reds.
I would have heard something, I think.
The Chinese leagues, though, they're spending big money right now.
I don't want Arsenal under Chinese ownership.
Yeah.
Not that I have anything against, Chinese
Talking
ownership.
About Liverpool.
Yes.
Burnley.
I love it.
Hey, Ryan said Burnley was going to give some
Ryan
teams
a top 10. He's like the oracle here. He's like, you can just kind of look into his teapot and because all the results are kind of coming out.
Like I said, you were talking about, but you say about the Chelsea one, and we'll get to that in a bit, but they were 1-0 down against Watford with 10 minutes to go. I mean, it's not, I mean, granted, they have, no one's going to remember it come the end of the season, but two wins, but two late goals to win that, so I was almost right on the Watford-Chelsea. But yeah, Burnley, I said, back to Hull Swansea, where I said we'd talk more about Burnley this year than we will Swansea. Mm. Swansea looked poor, rude a lot of first-half misses, made to pay. And then you got Burnley, I said, they're going to rattle some feathers, especially with the top six teams that you think should be up there competing and winning it. But Sam Vokes after 2 minutes, Andre Gray after 37, and then... Yeah, really surprised, actually, at Liverpool. They actually didn't create hardly anything. It was actually really poor to watch.
They only created a load.
It must have been that bright, luminous shirt they're wearing.
Yeah.
They're always looking at, they're giving each other headaches. Oh, I can't be on this field anymore. Yeah. Oh, no, I can't play.
But Burnley are really good at, even after Vokes scored 2 minutes, they were almost parking the bus. Right. Like, they were willing to do it for 88 minutes. But, Andre Gray scored a good goal.
Is this our first caller?
Yes. Ooh. Like
first caller.
All right. Okay.
And we know how to answer it.
The phone's over there.
WVPC, blokes on the bench. Well, let's see now. Nope, I'm not getting anything. Well, try again, sir. Thank you.
We actually had the button there. We had it. I had it ready to go.
Oh, okay. Well, next time, I'm sure they'll call back. We're all a little rusty here, you know, with the old blower.
All right. Well, yeah. If there you go.
There you go.
Hello.
Nobody there. All right.
Nobody there.
Let's kick on.
All right. So Watford versus Chelsea, 2-1 to Chelsea. Ryan. Back to you again.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, still shocked that Capoue's banging them in 2-2 for him, for Watford. But It was great volley, actually. Right. So I'll give him some props there in the 55th. But about Shuey, you know, that's who they spent the money on and who they think is going to complement Costa. So he scores in the 80th. And then obviously Costa does what he does with a half chance. And they
got him from Marseille, I believe.
Yeah.
And what did they pay for him?
I have no idea. But
something
probably,
silly.
Like 45 mil or something like that?
Probably, right.
What's your views on this money?
Oh, don't get me started. It's just insane. Especially, you know, as an Arsenal fan and our,
not
you know,
43
yeah. million is the top price we've paid for a player. Admittedly, a player is worth every penny. But you can't tell me that Pogba's, you know, three times as good as Ozil.
Mm.
He's four times better.
Yeah, right. Dream on.
Ozil hit a beautiful penalty in the Euros, didn't he? Oh, wait, that's right. He missed.
Yeah, well, Ozil had Arsenal and penalties. Didn't we miss one last week? Good God.
Theo, unbelievable. Why didn't Sanchez take that?
Sanchez would have missed it as well.
We need, I don't know who we need back. Not Omri, of course.
All right, guys, with all the smack talk that's going on amongst everybody in the studio, you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC Charlottesville. You can get in contact with us if you want and then interrupt the show. 434-284-9470, and obviously we'll try to get you on the air.
Absolutely. We'll do our best.
Right. And obviously on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench.
Absolutely. Third week in, I believe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Third week.
Honored to be here along with you.
Thank
four
you.
Gentlemen.
Thank you for
welcome,
coming in.
Welcome.
It's a really, really interesting addition to the Charlottesville airwaves. My voice has never been heard on the Charlottesville airwaves before, so you can take that to the bank.
All right. Everton versus West Brom.
Well.
At the Hawthorns.
Yeah.
I don't really rate Everton that much. I've never really. Maybe it's just the fact that they're from Liverpool as well.
I think that they're new. You know, I just think that Roberto Menendez was not a great manager for them. And I think Ronald Koeman is going to be a far better, far more motivating force. He's going to get the best out of Morales. I mean, 4 points from two games so far for Everton. Not a bad start.
Right.
He scored a good goal as well, Kevin Morales, yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
He's got an attitude problem, but I think he's a great player.
Yeah. It's nice to see old Mr. Reliable Gareth Barry get on the score sheet for the first time since January 2014. So. But the other thing I wanted to say about this game as well is you had debuts for Yannick Bolasie and Ashley Williams. Slotted in really well, actually. It was good to see. I mean, and you know what? I like the fact that, you know, they went 1-0 down. Gareth McCauley opened the scoring with a trademark header. It's kind of all he does. It was good to see Toffees bounce back. I think they definitely needed that, and I think their fans are finally starting to see what Everton could potentially do this year. So that was good to see.
Do you think that now that Stones has left, that might have, you know, has that affected the team at all?
I don't think so, really.
I think Ashley Williams is a better defender than John Stones, and you get, you know, his senior capability of managing a squad and helping out. I actually see Everton and the Toffees being a top of the table team.
Ashley Williams had a great Euros. He really did.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, he's had it. To be fair, he's been probably one of the best defenders in the league for the past 3 years. So.
Arsenal were looking at him a few years back.
I mean, he hasn't, obviously age is kind of against him at the moment. I think that's the only thing you would say. He's got to be 29.
Yeah, he's
29.
Right. Yeah,
it's got to be.
Johnny Evans plays for West Brom, right?
Yeah.
And aren't Arsenal looking at him?
We're looking at Johnny Evans. It wouldn't be bad to have another Northern Irish player in our
get him
Sammy Nelson, Pat Rice, Pat Jennings. We need another one. It's time.
All right, so the next result, obviously Arsenal versus Leicester City. Both teams going out with something to prove.
Absolutely, especially after their opening day disappointments.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, the two resident Arsenal fans here.
Well, yeah, I did watch it, and I was frustrated. Just frustrated throughout the game, of course. And Theo Walcott proving once again that he needs to be moved along to another team, even though he's their longest-serving player. Laurent Koscielny, thank goodness, back in the back. Because Callum Chambers was not up to the task last week. So a solid defensive display. Plenty of possession, no penetration. Where have we heard that before? Over to you, Mark.
I agree with the Callum. Ian Wright came out this week and said that it's time for Callum Chambers to move on. He's been there 3 years. He hasn't really done a whole lot.
No, he's not kicked on. It's true.
You know, I think Holding looks pretty promising.
Yeah, Holding does look promising.
And I agree with you, having Koscielny back was huge. I just think we're having a problem playing without a recognized striker. I was very optimistic at first when Sanchez was playing up top, but it doesn't seem height. Like anybody can give him a... It doesn't... Height, I mean...
None
I agree
them,
with
none
that.
None of them are near 6 foot, and they're you know nope. Monreal's are throwing in crosses for guys who are like 5'7", 5'8". It's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, but it just doesn't seem like Alexis Sanchez is. He's not the same player unless he can come and get the ball.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
He's not the kind of player that's going to make these awesome runs off the ball as a striker. He makes great runs, but he has to be on the wing
All
to
right,
get
guys.
The ball.
All right, guys, it's 20 past the hour. Here's a word from our sponsors. Be right back with more. Trying to analyze the Arsenal game. Be right back, guys. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. So let's get right back into it then. What does Arsenal need to do? Is it money?
As Harry Enfield once said, we need to spend loads of money.
What do you think, Mark?
I think we... clearly need another center back, especially with all the problems we have with our current center backs. And, you know, we need a recognized striker.
What happened with Mustafa?
Is that still on?
Yeah. Maybe.
I would bet you money right now that he's not coming.
Yeah, because I think the price is going up. They know that we need one, so they're bumping up the price. And, you know, Wenger, I mean, talk about parsimonious. He ain't no George Graham, but... He still just doesn't like to spend over the odds at all. And, you know, Lasseret Olympic Lyonnais, he's injured. So Wenger's sort of out of the running there. And, I mean, how many strikers are there available in Europe for Arsenal to even buy in the first place? I mean, Higuain at, what, 89 million? The guy's worth 55 tops.
I'd say 20.
I would say 30.
Yeah, he's a bit of a fat boy.
I actually have been reading that Valencia is continually trying to sell Mustafi to Arsenal, but Arsenal just is stalling.
Yeah, well, as they should. He's not the only game in town. We are looking at others.
Right. I think like Arsene Wenger is kind of like Van Gaal in a way, or the other way around, even.
Yeah, like Van Gaal.
But like. Van Gaal did this thing where he just never really bought good quality. I mean, he was buying players that were a little bit over the hill when he bought Schweinsteiger. He was absolutely useless, in my opinion.
Yes, Schweinsteiger did not.
We made that massive signing.
Is he still with Manchester United?
He's in the reserve team, along with the 20-year-olds.
Well, right. Mourinho is no what's the word? He's not a respecter of egos at all.
Well, he's got a big ego.
Well, that's why.
His ego fills the room, and then everybody
else
can't get in.
There's no room for anyone else. But that's, you know, that's true of many, many managers.
Right. Because, I mean, we bought Di Maria. I was guilty of going out and buying the shirt.
Oh! That was
That was the year we had Falco as well.
Tough to eat.
We Angel Di Maria.
We had... We had Falco that year? And you went back home. You went back home to watch the game. I want you to explain this year.
Yeah, so
what happened?
I think it was like 3 days before Christmas. We were playing Villa at Villa Park. So me and my mate Chrissy went there. We got tickets. Unfortunately, we thought we were in the away section, but it turns out we had home seating. So, you know, cover up those United shirts, sit with a bunch of Villa fans, and
what did
try
you
not
do
cheer when Falcao scored. So.
Oh, no.
And he did. He
yeah,
did
and then when Villa went 1-0 up, we're just there going... Marvellous. What a fantastic goal.
Yes, do not go into the away side. I don't know. I mean,
have you ever done that?
Never happened.
Never
again.
Went to the clock end at Highbury. Always right in the thick of the North Bank. But, you know, in the 70s when a West Ham or a Leeds United or a Man United or a Chelsea would take the North Bank, we would step aside. The Arsenal fans were basically schoolboys and old men. We didn't have hooligans at Arsenal in the 70s. It was funny. We were just not that way. I guess that's one of the reasons I loved Arsenal was I always felt safe there. I didn't feel safe at Upton Park or Tottenham or anywhere else.
What happened? What would actually happen to you? If you ended up in the wrong side, I mean, would it be as bad as people said? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen many a bloody person being dragged out of the way end. I mean, it's funny, the chant used to be at Arsenal when the opposing team scored, clock end, do your job, meaning, you know, the moles in the clock end were supposed to attack the opposing fans, which is ludicrous.
Because it's very tribal. I don't think Americans really understand just how tribal soccer is back home.
And, I've seen Green Street hooligans
out there who want to talk smack and talk trash. Don't try too hard. Don't try to be an English football hooligan of the 70s. It won't work and it doesn't look good on you.
Yeah. All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC Charlottesville. You can get in contact with us at 434-284-9470. The phone will ring and we'll go, how do you answer it?
I think we're going to make it happen.
Yeah, we'll make it happen, Captain. All right, hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench.
Nice.
All right, so Sunderland versus Middlesbrough.
Oh, the Tyne. Like, no, not the Tyne. The Weir Tees.
The Weir. Yeah. The Weir. Is that right?
Close enough.
I studied my atlas before I came over.
Yeah, so you have Stuani scored an absolute beauty today. 25-yard bullet into the top corner.
Goal of the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my boy, old Alvaro Negredo, with an assist for him for his second. So, yeah. And he could have put it in himself, to be fair. So. Yeah, I think they're going to be all right. I said that last week. I think Middlesbrough are surprising people, but Sunderland looked terrible.
A fifth season of relegation.
Moyes.
Just terrible.
Is it Moyes?
It's just they don't have. Look, you have a player in. Look, you're relying on all your goals coming through. What is he now? 34, Jermaine Defoe.
Still it's just, a great striker.
Yeah, he still knows where the back of the net is, but he's not.
He does.
You gotta give more, in my opinion. I just think they're poor pretty much across the board, except for him. I actually think their goalkeeper is actually not too bad.
And why is John O'Shea still in defence? Why hasn't he retired? I mean, Wes Brown was, you know, decent enough to retire when he was rubbish.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, John O'Shea just hasn't have it anymore.
Well, no, he hasn't had it for a
while. You
were saying
Guzan. Like, I don't even read Guzan.
No, but you know what? That's not. He's still got.
Terrible.
No, for Middlesbrough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I actually think that's a pretty good acquisition for them.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's a step up, like, from.
Yeah. And is Steve Gibson still the owner of Middlesbrough?
I have no idea. Yeah, I think so. Must be.
He's put a lot of money into that club in the last 20 years. Now,
Moyes took over, right? From. Was it Sam? Yeah. So could it. They were talking about how when Sam left, it was unfinished business. Like, the signings, none of that could. You know, he was in the middle of trying to do that. He leaves. That interrupts everything.
Sam was the only decent manager they've had in the last, God, I don't know, 7 years?
Yeah, but they're always in the same boat, though. They're always down the bottom. They're never a mid-table team. They never will be.
With an entire season of Sam Allardyce coaching Sunderland, I believe they would have been a mid-table. Because Sam don't lose. Sam always creates a solid defence.
Right.
And you know, Sam's the man as far as that stuff goes. He would have been fine with that.
And you,
what do you think of his England appointment?
Oh, well, he'll make England into as a boring a team as Hodgson did. And, you know, England are just exasperating. I never expect anything from them, and I'm never disappointed.
Right. But you were saying also that Sam, like, he kind of saw visions, a visionary in terms of training.
He was, yeah. I mean, you look at him, you wouldn't think he was kind of the trendsetter, the first one to do, but he was one of the first managers to ever get into, like, the sports science side of it, like the nutrition. When especially was at Bolton, like, players never used to run down the side. Substitutes were never, like, warming up on the side of the pitch, running up and down the line. They were on those, like, on the bikes and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
looked ridiculous.
He was kind of, you know, fans. Yeah, if he believed in a lot of its mentality as well. If your players buy into it, then they've bought into you.
Right.
And I also like the fact that Allardyce would take players with him. Like, is it Kevin Nolan, who's wherever Sam went,
pretty much,
Nolan followed.
Yeah,
right.
He inspired great loyalty in his players who would play their hearts out for Sam. I mean, you know, he even got something out of Nicholas Anelka, that little
thingy in the bobber.
Yeah.
All right. Lastly, West Ham. West Ham.
West Ham. My old neighborhood.
West Ham.
The Hammers versus the Cherries. What do we make of that?
Boring game, wasn't it? It was terrible. All the hype was about, you know, West Ham's first game in the new stadium, which looked great.
Yeah.
I think that was the best spectacle of the whole 90 minutes. It wasn't a great game. Bournemouth's just not doing enough for me. I actually thought they might do all right this year, but didn't do enough. And then you got Antonio with a late winner. Obviously, the first to score on the ground, so great for him. I thought he was pretty good last season. He seems to have done all right in the first two games. So the only thing that came out of this game was the first kind of person to be stumped by the new kind of rules change with Arta getting a yellow card for... It, to me, he didn't really protest that much to the officials, but still, the new rules are if you take three or four steps over to an official and start berating him, you're getting booked. So he got booked for that, and then obviously he gets booked for the challenge on Coate. So, yeah, red card. So it's kind of too, like, you know, pretty soft sending off when you think about when you break down the two cards. But, yeah, he seems to be the first victim of the new rules change, so... sad for him and sad for Bournemouth. But, yeah, West Ham 1-0. New stadium. Fans were
rocking.
What
do you think of the new stadium?
Yeah, it's nice. Pretty good.
Is it something fit for West Ham?
Too good for West Ham.
No offense. Yeah, well,
they had 56,000 people in there.
Right, but it's still...
apparently 52,000 season ticket holders for West Ham this season.
Yeah,
so,
really?
They're a club on the ups. They're going to challenge, you know, they'll be part of the big four. I mean, it was always the big three in London with Arsenal, Chelsea and Tottenham. But I think West Ham are really pushing to, you know, get in there in the big four of London.
Right.
You know? My only issue with the ground is...
the running track.
Yeah. You're so far away from the action, which is, it's just always been a little annoying for me. But, you know, the facilities look great.
Nobody likes a running track. I went to see when I went to Stamford Bridge in 1971, and I was in the shed. That's how old I am. There was a running track around Stamford Bridge back then, and with a big D behind each goal. It was a horrible ground, just terrible. And once I discovered Highbury, it was all over. Yeah. It's all very important, these grounds. I mean, you know.
So you think that money and getting bigger grounds is a good thing?
The English Premier League is no domestic league anymore.
Right, it's
a worldwide, as evidenced by the fact that, you know, Mourinho and Guardiola are not battling it out in Spain anymore. They're right in the same city battling it out with
Manchester,
Klopp and Wenger still there. I mean, you know, the best coaches in the game are in England this season.
So will the bubble burst, or will it just keep going up, further up and up and up and?
Difficult to say. I mean, where is the high point of soccer worship in the world? I mean, it's the world's most popular game, and we love that you listeners are listening in to, you know, five blokes on the bench talking about it. But I mean, I don't know where it ends. I really don't.
I think the biggest fear is the way the market's gone, and you're paying these ridiculous amounts of money for players.
Right.
The team that you've paid that ridiculous amount of money to are just going out and buying another ridiculous amount
as
of money.
As evidenced by Juventus turning around and buying Higuain insane prices.
So your biggest fear is living in the moment, buying what's available right now, paying this ridiculous money. You cannot lose focus on your academies, your youth development, because they're the future of the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the biggest fear, that you won't have this next generation of world-class player, because teams are living in the moment. It's a result-orientated business.
Do you guys worry about Mourinho's track record with bringing youth into the side? Because, I mean, for your team, Manchester United, and Mourinho being at Manchester United, he's not got a great reputation for bringing young players through.
Hasn't got a great reputation, but he's never managed Man United before.
And I think with the history Man United has...
He's fully aware.
He has to.
He's fully aware. The amount of money, the amount of years.
When he says has to, I mean, Mourinho's not a guy who you can say you have to do this or that too. I mean, he's going to do it his way. You know that.
And again, you know, it's probably wishful thinking on my part. I'd like to think that Man U probably is the job that he's always wanted.
I thought it was Barcelona.
That's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Since the gouging incident.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's never managed a team like United. I mean, yeah, Real, but they've always just been throwing the money around. Their philosophy some years ago were, you can go out and score three, we're just going to score four.
Yeah, for 10 years with the Galacticos.
I mean, you had
philosophy.
Ancelotti won the Decima, and then a year later he's gone. Like, I mean, it's just, that revolving door of players, managers at Real. It's just, they constantly want the next big thing.
And you know, I mean, Mourinho's going to do great for two seasons at Manchester United.
You think he'll leave?
The third season, who knows? What's his track record like?
Exactly, but for me, there's how many more challenges are there in the game for him?
Yeah.
So I actually think he could be
a
manager.
The Azerbaijan national team.
He could be a manager that ends his career at Man United. I honestly believe that.
Well,
I know he
Mourinho
bounces around.
Yeah, with an accent on could, because it seems unlikely, but, you know.
What age
surprised
is
me.
No, he's like mid-50s, isn't he? 55?
Yeah, he's still...
He's still a young
50s. Of, yeah. You know, I mean, what's Wenger, 67?
Getting what age was Alex
I thought
Ferguson
Wenger was 100.
Took over the job.
When he took over? Yeah.
He took over in, what, 85?
No, 86.
86, same time Big that Ron, Graham came to Arsenal.
Because we had Big Ron Atkinson was our manager.
Ah, yeah. Big Ron with his driving coat.
Yeah. I'd say he was probably 40, early 40s, 42, okay. Something like okay. That. Yeah.
From so, Aberdeen. Right?
From Aberdeen. Doing the business there.
Yeah, but got them the European Cup Winners' Cup, I believe. And didn't he also coach Scotland at one time?
Did Alex ever
coach Scotland?
No, I don't think so.
No, that was Ali McLeod. That's right, I forgot.
Mm. So, yeah, but even, like, you look back, even those first 2, 3, 4 years at United, Alex Ferguson, we didn't have any results.
He was nearly shoved out the door. For 3 or 4 seasons there, it took him a while to get Man United going, but once he turned them around...
But it is like that, though. Like, if you don't... He was the one that really went out and got the scouts, because they only had, what, 1 or 2 scouts in the whole city, and he was like, nope. You're going to go out and you're going to find these players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that takes a while. That doesn't just happen overnight. And I think that he had a plan in place. Luckily, he was given it wasn't the time now where, you know, 6 months in, if you haven't, you're out.
That's it. That's the fear, isn't it? That you'll never see another 25 plus year manager in the same position because you don't have the time.
It's not
every manager has that dry spell where you don't win anything and you try and overdo it. There's a couple of people in the room, that know that.
Don't I know it?
But you gotta offload, and then they just offload them. I actually like the fact that Arsenal haven't got rid of Arsene for that. You know, they're showing a little bit of loyalty, but again, it's big
business.
More than a little. It's changed now. I think you've got if you're not moving with the times, then you're just stagnant. And Arsenal, that's exactly what they are at the moment.
They have been stagnant for...
And it's a shame.
7 seasons now.
So,
but, you know, and also have managed to amazingly have at least 2 top players at all times and long-term injury. I don't know how we do it.
Manchester United last year, you had to look to the youth almost because you had so many injuries and you were running out of options. So like, you had a guy like Rashford come through, well with every chance he got.
Yeah.
Like Arsenal, some of these other clubs where, like Mark talks about, a recognized striker. You don't have a recognized striker in that academy anywhere you can give a shot.
We Chuba Akpom.
All right, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench. The time is just coming up to 6:40.
6:40.
Yeah.
The big hand is minutes, Andy.
Shush you. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about La Liga, and also I want to find you guys out about the games that you've been to over the years.
Oh.
The memories.
Oh!
Cue to the music. We'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, welcome back to Blokes on the Bench.
Hey. All
right, so let's get right into it. Obviously, La Liga kicked off.
It did kick off this weekend.
I know nothing about La Liga.
You've got a Real Madrid shirt on there, so you are our resident expert.
Right, off you go.
It's me!
You're on your own.
Right, tell us about your paella.
I'll touch on the big boys.
Yeah, that's good.
Barcelona beat Real Betis yesterday, 6-2.
With a Suarez hat trick.
Started off where he left off last season. Just finishing. Messi, he had a brace. He's going to get on the score sheet. Eda Turan had one.
Messi got one as well. I saw that one.
So Messi and Suarez with a hat trick. Who else got the goals on that one?
Messi had a brace. Eda Turan had one.
And, hat-trick for Suarez.
And, of course, Neymar wouldn't have been playing because he's just got a gold medal with Brazil in the Olympics. Am I right?
That's right.
There you go.
Brought home the gold.
And who did Brazil beat in to get that gold medal?
Germany
with an Arsenal player, Serge Gnabry.
Serge Gnabry.
Yes. Okay.
And was there any other results?
That was basically it for Saturday.
Okay.
Then Real Madrid, the other big boy, played today. They won 3-0. Bale had a brace. you know, typical dominating fashion. Asensio scored the other.
And how about Atletico?
Atletico, did they even play?
One would hope.
You know,
one would hope.
The thing I read today about Suarez.
They drew.
17 goals in 6 games.
What?
What?
17.
How is that possible? How can you have 17
I think
goals?
That's like,
a big tooth goof.
Yes.
It's the Spanish league.
It's a vampire.
It's a Spanish league. It's like you've got two teams and then they're playing MLS teams through the rest of the league.
That gives us something to chew on.
If only Wenger had made a bigger bid. Suarez might be an Arsenal player.
£40 million and £1. Oh, the Liverpool. What am I going to do with that £1?
Wait,
how much do chips cost now?
It's like when we talked about Higuain the other week. He had, 30-plus goals last season? But it was in the Italian league. Like, anybody can score that number of goals.
Ryan scored 15 goals in the Italian league last year.
No, it was 24.
Then can you rate Pogba then? I mean...
I just want to say,
Pogba's not a goal scorer. Pogba's
a box-to-box
midfielder.
He's got size, he's got strength.
He doesn't run around players, he runs through them.
Yeah.
It's crazy watching him.
You know,
the boy's a beast.
When he jumps in the pool, Pogba doesn't actually get wet. The water gets Pogba'd.
Oh, nice.
Now the Zlatan stuff is now rubbing off on
Pogba. I think Jeremy's been working on that one for a while.
No, it just came to me.
Just writing it down.
It does amaze me that Zlatan can be so good at his age. And, you know, we're going to get another... United will get at least 2 seasons out of him, taking him up to 36, the edge of 36.
Right, that's what I think. A lot of people are saying 1 year. I think no.
No, they'll get 2 out of him.
Yeah.
Well, they said this week that he was looking to play another year.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least.
There's no way that Zlatan would ever come to the MLS.
You don't have to put your hand up.
I told him last week.
Have you done your homework? Your tie's not straight, young man. And
So if Pogba's the water, what does Zlatan do when he dives into a pool?
Oh, God.
All right, that sounds like dead air. Better start talking.
All right, so let's talk about... You're obviously from the UK as well. You've been to games.
Yes.
I'll be honest, I have not been to a game. I went to my first... I've been a soccer fan. I've been watching the Premier League since 93.
Uh-huh.
But the first game I'd actually really been to was the UVA game the other day. They scored, right? They scored the first goal.
As we were walking up.
As we were walking up. Didn't get to see that. And then I left, and they played an extra 30 minutes, and they scored twice. Then I have not been in a crowd when someone scores a goal. Can you explain what that feels?
Oh boy! When Malcolm McDonald scored a hat trick against Newcastle United on a frozen Saturday afternoon in late 77, my God, it's incredible. But you know, my history with watching football in England is pretty ancient. 35 years ago, from 77 through 82, I was on the North Bank at Highbury. Those were my years. And then I think the last game I saw was the opening game of the 82-83 season, but I was so disappointed by Arsenal. By that time, we sold all our best players. I was done. And then I came to America. But I did go to see Arsenal play in Harrison, New Jersey a couple of summers ago, to play the New York Red Bulls in Harrison, New Jersey. $400 for 3 tickets for me and my 2 kids. But it was so much fun just to be in a crowd of Arsenal fans, even though I didn't see any English people there. All the Arsenal fans I saw.
A lot of college kids.
Yeah, a lot of, a lot of Indian Americans, a lot of South Asian Americans apparently are Arsenal fans. I was hoping for more Africans because Arsenal is Africa's team, and I do love that because I love African culture of all types. So, yeah. It's just the late 70s was just fabulous. No commercialization. Lots of fighting, lots of drunkenness. But anyway, what do we got here?
We have a flasher, everyone.
We have a flasher.
What does that mean?
What does that even mean? It means there's a collar.
Get your dirty Max out.
All right. What about you, Ron? You've been to a few games.
Been to a lot of actually different Premier League games. Obviously, United, Old Trafford. Probably been to about 30 or 40 games.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I'm so jealous.
I know.
How much does it cost to get into Old Trafford these days? Were you a season ticket holder? Or how did you get your tickets?
I was always lucky where either my dad, through business, would always know somebody who, when they went on vacation, They'd give us their season tickets. It's been a couple of times where, you know, if you get on it early, you can get them through like Ticketmaster and stuff like that.
I mean,
you pay through the odds for them, but.
How about just on the street with, you know, what Americans would call scalpers? I'm not sure what that's. Is that a phrase that people use in England?
I'm not sure if they use it.
Hawkers?
Yeah, I mean, it probably is, but.
Touts! That's what it's called. Ticket touts! I can never remember the English expression.
I actually ran into that problem when I went to watch United at Old Trafford against Newcastle. Me and somebody else, we went. And then this couple came and claimed that we were sat in their seats, and we both got identical tickets, but mine were originals and they were fakes. So
really,
happened to me in Harrison, New Jersey. A drunk gentleman and his family, and he's just like, "Would you want to take it outside?" I got up and I put on my best hooligan accent. "What you just say to me?" And he backed right off.
Wow,
it was pretty amusing.
All right, so Ryan...
Because I'm a puff, really. I'm a southern softy.
What other games have you been to outside Premier League? Have you been to any FA Cup games? Have you been to Wembley?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Have you been to both Wembleys?
Yes.
Really? You went to the old Wembley?
I went to the old Wembley.
You must have been a young whippersnapper.
My dad took me and my brother against Argentina in 93.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a friendly. And then, obviously, I've been to the new Wembley for... like different stuff. We went. I think me and my dad went to like an Audi V Vans final once.
I love it when the final has got Vans in the title. That's one of my
but
favorites.
Yeah, no, great. Both. Obviously, everyone prefers old Wembley. Yeah, right. It was shoddy. How can that be? Amazing.
Old Wembley was garbage. I went there in 1978 to see a World Cup qualifier game between England and Italy that England won but still didn't qualify for the Argentina 1978. That was the Kevin Keegan era. Scored a great goal.
Kevin Keegan.
Yes, Kevin Keegan and Steve Coppell. Who else was in that team? Anyway, Peter Shilton probably. No, Ray Clements probably more. But yeah, no, the behaviour of the England fans in 1978 at my only England game on my only Wembley visit was so disgusting that I swore. It put me off being an England fan for the rest of my life, to be quite honest with you. I just thought the behaviour of the fans was disgusting.
Right.
But that's just, you know, that's 78.
Right, exactly. Yeah? I mean, but this summer, though... Hooliganism raised its ugly head again.
Wasn't that mostly Russia, though?
Teetotaling Russian thugs who'd done training in a forest in Russia and came over specifically to beat the hell out of drunk English guys who could hardly even stand up. And the English fans were sitting ducks and got mangled by the Russians. And I did not find it. It was horrible. It was horrible. But, you know, the English fans, they've never been very well behaved, so my sympathy is sort of low. But I do have sympathy for what happened.
Well, what about like the worry about next World Cup?
Well, if anyone who goes to Russia to support England gets what they deserve, anyone who even watches that godforsaken tournament deserves what they get. I will not be watching that Russian tournament. So that's the end. That's what I have to say about that.
Hey, guys.
Total corruption.
Don't forget, you're listening to Blokes on the Bench. You can reach us at 434-284-9470. Or you can reach us on facebook.com/blokesonthebench.
All right. That's right.
All right. So let's talk a little about the fixtures that are coming up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, first one, Tottenham versus Liverpool.
Ooh,
that's going to be a good game.
That's a marquee fixture.
Hotspurs.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a guaranteed $2 accumulator win here. Let's go Tottenham 2-1.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, I would have to say Tottenham.
What, Kane and...
Going Kane, Lamella.
Yeah.
And Coutinho to score for Liverpool or what?
I'll tell you what, I'll go out of the box here and go Henderson, if he's fit.
Henderson. Now, next up is Chelsea Burnley. That sounds like a pretty easy
Burnley.
One. Burnley. Burnley. Absolutely. Actually, there's a couple of Burnley fans here in town. Englishmen who are Burnley fans in town. So, you know,
I'm going to go for a draw. Got to be. I'm just going to keep going with a draw every time Chelsea play.
Well, that's good. Let's hope. Yeah, that that should be a big test for Burnley on their return to the Premier League.
The next one is actually going to be a massive, massive game. Crystal Palace versus Bournemouth.
How do you reckon?
I think I'm going to go Bournemouth just because I just need to keep up this record with Alan Pardew and Crystal Palace. So, but Palace at home, if they lose that, they're under massive pressure. And let's talk a little bit about...
Especially since the money they've spent.
$27 million, I think, initially for Benteke. And then Benteke tweets out that he's off to play for Burnley. And then has to retweet saying, oh, yeah, no, sorry, the person who handles my Twitter account got a little confused. I'm actually going to Crystal Palace. So
wow.
You just had to...
Laughable. Laughable.
Play at Salas Park in Crystal Palace. Boy. So you might see Huffable. Going to play at Salas Park in Crystal Palace. Boy. So you might see Benteke there. I mean, that might be somebody you'll bag on.
Is Adebayor still with Crystal Palace this year? Or did they ditch him?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen him this year, so...
No.
I think he's gone.
He's gone.
Shouldn't have never left Arsenal.
And he shouldn't have kept changing his hairstyle every week. That was what laid him low.
Don't forget, if you want to join in, by the way, guys, do give us a ring on 434-284-9470.
We'll try to get to him.
Yeah, we really want to hear your opinions, guys. So
we do.
Please do give us a ring.
Yeah. It may have seemed that it's us who are all opinionated, but you can be opinionated too.
So Everton versus Stoke.
Yeah.
Go draw.
Everton.
I'm going draw.
Everton.
Yeah, I've got to say Everton on that one. Stoke have had a pretty slow start.
Leicester City versus Swansea.
Leicester all day.
Yeah, I think Leicester.
Really?
Leicester have got to do it now.
First
I
win.
Think they have to win.
They have to win.
Swansea are going to be in trouble this year, I think.
I think so too.
What, do you think they could be looking at the relegation?
They're going to be down there. They're definitely not going to be mid-table.
I mean, they had a big slump last season, and they only just got out of it.
Right.
You know?
Southampton versus Sunderland.
Ooh, the Stripies versus the Stripies.
I think this could be. I think this could be an absolute rout. 5-0 Southampton.
5-0.
Yeah. I think Southampton's going to be hungry.
Yep.
All right. So you guys, the next one.
Yeah, Watford versus Arsenal. We have to
I've
win.
I've got
this
Watford.
Thing. Yeah. Well, good for you. Say it.
I'll go Watford 2-1.
Ah, well, I'll go Arsenal 2-1. Definitely.
You know,
I think Giroud.
I'll go
back
Arsenal 3-0.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about Arsenal. They do pull out these ones. A game like that, wasn't it 3-0 last season?
I believe so.
Yeah, we did a lot of away wins. Sorry, a lot of away wins, 3-0 away wins when we were running hard. But here's a big one. Up next, Hull versus Manchester United. What do you think, Ryan?
It's got to be. It's got to go Man United.
You
I
do.
Think it'll be a closer game than... Then it kind of looks on paper. Hull got off to a great start.
They
They're
do.
At home. I think the fans are definitely behind them. But I'm going to go Man United 2-1 and Zlatan to continue this.
Yeah, I'd imagine Zlatan will probably bag both those goals.
So, yeah, and then we move on to Sunday.
Okay, guys, we got a phone call. Oh. Hello? You tuned into Blokes on the Bench?
Yep.
Yeah. Hello?
You guys are
You're on the air. Don't be shy.
I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
My name's Steve. I'm calling. First off, I gotta say, love the show.
Thank you.
Love the accents. Hilarious.
Okay. Well, I
was talking to him. He was there.
Okay.
Call us back, Steve.
Yeah,
we're just having some bit of gremlins, obviously. We're just trying to get the phones working. So
absolutely.
Please do give us a ring back. Bear with us, guys. All right. So on Sunday. West Bromwich
Albion
versus Middlesbrough.
A really marquee game.
I'm actually going for Middlesbrough, though.
Me too.
Yeah. 2-0.
Yeah.
2-0.
Come on, Negredo.
The mighty Borough. Come on, Negredo.
Of course, you're going to like Borough because the coach is a former assistant coach to Alex. Am I correct?
Here we go. Who is the manager at the moment at Borough?
He's the former assistant coach at Real Madrid, I believe, and the former coach assistant coach at Manchester United under Alex, I believe. Spanish gentleman, can't remember his name.
Doesn't ring a bell. I remember a Portuguese and an Englishman.
Ha! Well, maybe I'm incorrect, but anyway, they are fresh back in the Premier League, Middlesbrough after what are we saying? seven seasons away?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we finish off Sunday with Man City versus West Ham.
West Ham. I don't think it'll happen.
I'd like to say draw, but I think the way that both teams have started this year, I think you've got to go Man City, probably 2-0.
I'm hoping to see West Ham.
Begrudgingly.
I'm hoping to see West Ham step it up this year. Pretty slow start for them, to be fair, but City do look good.
Yes, they do. They look fairly in ascendance at the moment, quite frankly.
Right. Well, that's the fixtures for this week. You got any news from UVA?
UVA, actually, the men's side just wrapped up their exhibition preseason.
Right.
They finished up 3-0.
Awesome.
Won two games this past week. They won Tuesday night. 4-2.
Wow.
Another score fest for them. Two goals came from sophomore Sergi News. Another sophomore, Wes Wade, scored one. And Leon Merrick, a freshman. So a lot of youth.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, future's bright for these guys.
You need to get down there, guys. I mean, the tickets you were saying are reasonably priced.
Season tickets, $40.
Wow, honestly? For a night out, bring the girlfriend?
That's men and women. Or you can break it in half, $20, catch all the men. I think it's like, I want to say 11 games a season at home for the men. So, I mean,
that's ridiculous.
You can't beat it.
Compare that to a price to like an MLS game where like the tickets are $80.
Yeah, you're paying double that for one ticket for a single person.
You got to support UVA.
Got to get down there.
Women have started 2-0. They're actually playing. They played today at 5, and I think they were up 2-0 at halftime.
Guys, we got a phone call. Hello, and welcome to Blokes on the Bench. Who's calling?
My name's Joel. First off,
hey, Joel.
I gotta say, love the show, but you guys are harder to get a hold of than my ex-girlfriend.
I'm sorry, Joel. You got a question for us, or?
Yeah, I got actually a couple questions. One of them is English Premier related. The first one is, I'm curious what you guys think about the Hull City game coming up this week. Not a big one against Exeter City, but I'm a big Hull fan, and I can't believe that you guys even talk about this on the radio here in Virginia. It's great. But
well,
curious
you
guys think about that. And my second question is this. So you guys, I was at a UVA soccer game last weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, those first of all, those boys are amazing.
They are, aren't they? They're awesome. And UVA are great.
They're great. But then I also love watching the women's soccer team. Also great, probably even more than the men's team, because the men's team don't win anything. But I'm thinking, and I'm not trying to be like sexist or anything, but I'm wondering, do you think that the men's, the UVA soccer team, could beat the women's USA team
okay,
in the game?
Let me pass that on to...
Where would that game be played? Would that be like played at like UVA or like at the U.S. stadium? And then I guess like where's the U.S. stadium?
The quick question to pass around, it's coming through my microphone. So the guy wants to know, Joel wants to know, UVA men's, you're saying that it would beat the women's international team?
Oh, yeah. No question. The U23 women's team came here in town this summer and was beat by the U15 boys at SACA.
Right.
I mean, that's not even your best boys in the state of Virginia. That's the region.
And Hull,
not even the region, the city.
The other question you said was Hull versus who was it?
Yeah, the Hull City game. I'm a big fan of Hull.
He's a massive Hull fan. What do you think of the game
the
coming out?
You must be loving it. Must be loving life right now. Look, you're in kind of disarray behind the scenes, but just concentrate on what's going on the pitch because the boys are doing
absolutely
the business
and
for you.
And you are based in the most exciting town in England.
I've actually never been out of America, so
really?
I'd love to go, but I
should.
I'm far, a long-distance fan, as we call it in Virginia, if you know what I mean.
Awesome. Thank you very much indeed for your call, Joel.
Thanks, Joel.
All right, well, that's actually perfect. You got our first call, and it's the end of the show. I want to thank, obviously, everyone. My name's Andy.
I'm Robin.
Ryan.
Mark.
And Jeremy.
And we will see you soon, guys. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.